This is the Michael Bryan Show. Hi everyone, welcome back to the show. And today I'm joined with Stephen Seidel, who is a connector, he's a content creator, and he also helps people with PR, marketing, and building brands online. So Stephen, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here. Love to cross the Atlantic Ocean when I'm having discussions. So thank you for granting me this opportunity.
Yeah, you're very welcome. So branding and the online space is becoming ever-changing, ever-growing, and what it was like last year is probably a very different situation now. So why do people embark on this branding and personal brand journey? Why do people do it in this day and age?
That's a great question. I think branding has become almost like Kleenex, right? When Kleenex first came out, it was tissues that you used to blow your nose. And so branding has become this hugely synonymous term, where it's like a catch-all, be-all. I think at the end of the day, brands are building their companies. People, personalities are building their own personalities, and they're building their followings. And you see this whole rise of influencers. And so as social media came to the forefront, I think it started in, you know, roughly 2008, MySpace, Friendster, all these individual channels came to really connect us all. It allowed us the opportunity where we could communicate and then reconnect with a lot of our friends. But then this became an opportunity for people to make money. And building a brand essentially has been an opportunity for anybody. And you've seen that you need to be offline and online. And so it's one thing to have a brick and mortar, but if you're not allowing people to order on Amazon or go online and check out your website, we typically see a user journey of somebody that's interested in you, your products, or your services. They're going to go through a checkpoint. They're going to check, hey, are they online? Great. Do they have Google reviews? Are they 5 stars? Are they 4.5? Do they have a social media? Are they regularly updating that? What do their systems look like? Are they regularly on social media, giving us an inside look? So social media has become a great tool to build that brand. And I think it's just all about being authentic. I recently did a LinkedIn post with there's a lot of influencers now that are being discovered for delivering inauthentic messages and really crafting their narratives so that people can relate with them. And what we found is we want to be as truthful and authentic as possible. When we work with companies and or brands, we go through a process. There's a really great YouTube video by Simon Sinek. It's called Start With Why. It's also a book. But really noticing what your motivation is for building a brand. And so if you're building a brand or building a company or building a personality and you just want to get rich, users can see through that, because that authenticity or the videos that you're creating will not resonate. There won't be that connection. It'll be a connection typically from, you know, we say separate yourself 18 inches from your head to your heart. You really want to come from your heart. And if you're building a company, you're building a brand, whether you're a small business or a Fortune 500 company, you need to be discoverable, you need to be communicating, and you need to be creating these conversations across the world and online. And so that's where we see this whole rise in branding.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's becoming a state where people think that they can do it, or think that they should, or think that they want to. But I've noticed a lot of brands, a lot of people, they come and go quite quickly. They tend to emerge and then disappear, as if like it's almost like an equalizer where you still have to be good at the thing that you're doing. It's hard to do this without being good, because people just find out, I guess, quicker. Like the bigger you grow, people realize you're not all that great. It's almost like a faster descent to the bottom almost.
Yeah, that's an interesting paradigm, definitely. I see that there's a lot of, like I said before, our mission is to do good, give back, make an impact. And so we start with a cause. And once you have a cause, we have this 4-part program. I can share a little bit more about that in a bit. But, you know, you start with your mission, then you move more into your message or your messaging, because it's not really about you. It's not about the doer. It's about the doing. And too often we get caught in our egos or making it about ourselves. But you need to think of your business as more of a movement. So we start with your mission. We get into your messaging, and then we get in more into the media and the marketing. And then lastly, we really want to build a swell of fans so that create a movement. And too often people flip that and they come out from a marketing perspective and they're like, hey, I want to put out all these things. I want to have all these fans. Everybody's going to follow me. But really, it starts with the genuine authenticity in your connectivity. And so if you are an expert, and you can be an expert on anything, you could be an expert on gardening. You could be an expert on tying shoes, coloring sneakers, sneakerheads, whatever it might be. But it truly needs to be something that you're invested in, and it's for the long haul. There's often these get-rich schemes that people are getting caught in on Instagram and coaching and training. If your heart is invested in it, and it's that you get to go to work, you don't have to go to work, and that you are committed for the long term, you have to have these stretch goals where you're stretching yourself, and then these smart goals, which are a lot more short term. They're short, measurable, actionable, conversion-based, and then time-based. But if you have those in place, you can have a guide map. But people want get rich quick schemes, excuse me for my flip there. And that's where you see someone who puts in time, or they start up a podcast. Hey, everybody's doing it. And there's these shiny objects that are popping up all around us, especially from a media perspective. Even some of the social media platforms, something like Clubhouse came and went. It's still there. It's a great tool, but you need to have an arsenal of content. But we strongly suggest you start with one, you start with two, really lean in on what it is that your mission is and what your messaging is. And that's going to take time. And there's no right or wrong way. You see people on TikTok that are simply turning it on and speaking their truth and getting millions of views, and that will rise to the top. The cream will rise to the top. But you need to be committed, and you need to be, confident in yourself, and also be real. And speaking of be real, that's another social media platform that came and went. It was a platform where you take a video or a picture in front of you and a picture behind you at the same time. People thought maybe that would encourage individuals to actually be their authentic self, but that has kind of come and gone. So what we've been seeing are there are the bigger social media platforms to really build those brands. You can have a website. But if you really want to connect for word of mouth marketing with the masses, you can build them on some of these social media sites.
I've noticed that a lot of the time people can try to tilt things in their direction, as you say. There's a lot of money to be made in trying to manipulate or convince people that they're trustworthy, whether it's on a business standpoint or just a time invested kind of standpoint. And it's becoming easier than ever to do that while people are becoming a bit more discerning and a bit more skeptical. It's like it's pulling from both sides, where companies can do this, but then there are certain demographics of people that are still wise to it, and they will still, be cautious, be careful. Some people just flat out not invest in that company. It seems like it's getting harder to navigate, while also some people have an easy time of navigating it, whether their radars are a little bit more attuned, that sort of thing. What do you think?
I feel like in terms of navigating the landscape, there's definitely a dichotomy. Sometimes social media can be used for the greater good. And I know I'm talking a lot about social media because that's typically where we start. We really want to build an authentic and an organic method. And then we reach out and build your company and your brands through PR with coverage and interviews. And so when we work with publications or journalists, they are seeking these stories that individuals can resonate with. In terms of some people sussing out people that maybe are inauthentic, yeah, I think at the end of the day, if you're doing something which is positive and creating change within individuals, and it's a transformational process, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Where it gets a little bit dicey is where people... There's an old saying that says, turn your mess into your message. And so oftentimes individuals, they've had it rough. Like I lived in a one bedroom apartment when I first started my company, and I, was making $700 a month. And so these stories, they allow the individual who's listening, or your audiences, to be like, oh, I can do that too. I'm capable of that. And sometimes these stories can be manufactured. They can be manipulated. However, I think if it does inspire you to change, I'm not really that mad at it. I think at the end of the day, it's just up to us to really be truthful and transparent. And there are some, larger companies and organizations that hide some things, right? Because they're a corporation and they value profit over purpose. And that's why we choose to work with cause-based companies. And I think it's up to you as a consumer to really be conscious. As well as if you're building a company or an entrepreneur, be conscious of who you're collaborating with. Studies show we're a product of the five people closest to us, but also we vote with our dollar. We vote with our clicks. We vote with our time. So if you know somebody is creating something and they're dumping a boatload of chemicals into water or river tributaries, that may not be somebody that you choose to work with. And that's where we've seen, especially since the pandemic, a lot of community conscious programs where you can invest locally. Because when you invest locally, you can allow your community to grow. And that's typically what we suggest as well. Start local, grow global. It may be a little bit more expensive or a little bit more of your time, but you're going to feel more enriched, more empowered. And so that's typically what we suggest. And there's a really cool app. I think it's still in existence. It's called Done Good. And you can check out companies that have a socially conscious component, whether or not it's made in the USA, sustainably sourced, women owned, any number of those things.
I think that's becoming more popular as well, isn't it? Where it's something that people want to strive to do as well, like whether it's investing in schools, whether it's you're doing things more sustainably, it's becoming more known that people are more conscious of it. People are really trying to make that effort.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's both a financial and there's an economical benefit. There's also a sociological and a physiological benefit, especially for these companies. A lot of people talk about Tom's, right? Way back in the day, Tom's started and they, you know, buy one, give one. And that was when it first started to enter into the zeitgeist. And other companies like Patagonia have been doing it for years. There's a really great book. I'm actually reading it right now. It's called Let My People Go Surfing, where their overall goal is like, look, we're a big corporation, but we don't want to make the world a worse place. We want to make it better. So how can we make a product? And oftentimes that product might be you. How can we make this product be as lean and as powerful as possible? Because too often people think, you know, we live in the United States, at least where we're at. I don't know, you're overseas, but, you know, add more, add more, add more. You know, you go to McDonald's, supersize, get this, get. But really, we want to create a world where it's a give and take. And so we have exactly what we need. It's the most powerful and concise product as possible. So when you're creating a company or working with a company or buying a product, I think that is important if they have these initiatives, especially for you as well. Think about how can you give back to your community? Do you have a charitable component? There's a really cool charity that we do when we work with clients. We plant trees. And so I think it's a dollar a tree. And it's just an easy way where you can actually give back with some of the work that you're doing.
I heard somewhere that once Tom's brought out this idea, there were companies that tried to emulate it that maybe didn't have the same purpose behind it. They just did it when they realized how popular and how many people were buying the shoes. Companies then jumped at it as a marketing tactic almost.
Yeah, there was a, I think it's called, that's, you're spot on, Michael. I think there's a company, I believe it was called Bob's, I'm not quite 100% sure, but it's like, how can we sound like Tom's? We could be similar to that. But this is where it goes back to the truth and the transparency and the audiences and what are your intentions. Like that company's intention was to get rich quick. They wanted to build off it. And whereas if you're the first to market or one of the first to do it, or you come from a place of love and compassion and you're clearly committed towards these communities. I mean, his story is amazing. If you read about Tom's story about how he found these shoes, he found these kids and they were sort of making these shoes and I can't remember the name of the country. He's like, I want to find a way to help these children. And so then he wore them everywhere and people were like, oh, I love your shoes. And he's like, wow, he had this light bulb moment. And so these companies, these lookalike companies or these copycat companies, consumer, especially now with Gen Z, they're hot on the mic. They're looking into seeing what's working, what's not working, you know, different companies like PETA. There are these causes. And that's where when we work with a company, you start with your mission. You get into your message. What is your message? Keep it super clean and concise. And then you can bring it to market and begin marketing and pushing it out. And then lastly, right, your goal is to create a movement. You want people who believe in you and believe in your brand. And you don't need to change who you are. You don't need to change who your company is. You just need to dig a little bit deeper and make sure you have that cultural alignment. And too often companies try to reinvent themselves. What if they just look internally? Chances are that either the CEO or the founder or these stories reside within yourselves. And so that's what we do as an organization is like we work with these change makers. We want to elevate your story to the highest pages, stages, and publications so that people can hear your story and they can resonate with it. And especially in America, the American dream, it's real. A lot of people come here, and you hear a lot of backlash of, you know, certain things, but People are living the American dream, and that's the story that we want to share. It is possible. You may have to put in time and work. It's not going to happen overnight, Michael, like we talked about. But if you truly believe in it, everybody hears about overnight successes. Usually it's taken 10 years at least.
I'm curious about how we can best do this. Now, I'm also aware that people listening may repeat the whole Tom's copycat scenario. But let's say everyone listening wants to be more authentic. They want to encourage people to do good and to be better. And whether it's sustainability, female-owned, that sort of thing, they really want to do something that makes a difference as well. How can you not just do that, but how do you communicate it with everyone's dials and radars all turned up to skeptical? How do you really stand out without just turning people off? Maybe you're trying too hard. Maybe you're not saying the right thing in the right way. How do people fix that? How do people do it in the right way?
I think there's no such thing as right way. I think there's the right mindset, and it's a great question. I think if you come from the right place and the right intention, I do a podcast, it's called Soul Proprietor, and it's all about finding that spirituality within yourself. And spirituality doesn't mean, you know, it could be God, it could be Buddha, whoever it is, but like, what is your higher purpose? And so if you come from there, and like you said, it could be a female, it could be, if you're a female business owner, that's where I'm starting. I'm a girl dad myself. The future is female, in my opinion. I want to empower, you know, the females in the workplace to have an equal seat at the table. And so think about, who are you inspiring? Who are you empowering? Why are you doing it? Usually when we work with companies, we start with, what are your three highest commitments as a business owner, as a company owner? What are you committed to? And then digging a little bit deeper. Like for me, I come from a Polish background. My great-great-grandmother came over to Ellis Island, and there was nobody to pick her up when she showed up. And they almost sent her back to Poland. But there was a nice Polish gentleman that she teamed up with. He brought her into the country. But for me, it's these stories of immigration. It's these people that go out and take a chance. And whatever your heritage is, if you're building your own brand, you may want to lean in on that and then just speak towards that. You don't have to hit them over the head and say, hey, I'm a Pole. You know, my mom came, my grandmother came from Poland, from Ellis Island. But it's finding different ways that you can give back to those communities. And it could be something as simple as, hey, shout out to, you know, the American Polish communities or local communities within you. For me, I think it starts with where you're at, your three highest commitments. What are you committed to? If you are living in a city or a local town and you want to give back to that city or that local town, what inspires you? I have a note on my phone and I write down all the things that I love. And I do it on a regular basis because to me, those are the indicators. Those are the things where you can unlock your heart and give it away to the world. So you can take that Tom's formula, but you're not going to do shoes again, but you could still give back. Maybe you went on a missionary trip to, you know, South Africa or somewhere in Romania. These are ways you're like, wow, I saw these Romanian kids. There was one individual, his name was such and such, or her name was such and such. And I want to get back to their community. And so digging into you and your own individual story is really where I think you can unlock the truth. And then as you begin to share them, you're just going to talk about it. You're just going to share about it. I wouldn't go blast out a big marketing campaign. You're going to crawl before you walk, walk before you run. And that's why social media is great, because you can test some of these things, see what resonates, and then go back. And then you could also look at your competitors, or you can type in individual hashtags and see the type of videos that they're doing. And so it gives you an opportunity to see what's working. Imitation is the highest form of flattery, but you want to make it personal to yourself. You are your own unique individual, and don't ever change that. That's what we always say. You are the key differentiator.
I'm getting the impression that the marketing side of things, it is possible. It's doable to do it in this way. And I can't help but think that there are people out there that do want to do right. They do want to do good, and they do want to do things, whether it's to do more for charity, that sort of thing. But it's making that doable from a business or a company perspective as well. So I wonder what your thoughts would be on that side of things. So some people actually bake it into their products. Other people have a charity alongside the company. There are lots of different ways that we can do it, as far as I know. What are your thoughts on trying to run it as a business and as a company as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think giving back is an important component. You know, you just need to look at it. It's going to be different for every individual scenario. Like you could go ahead and say, look, I'm going to create a nonprofit. There's a local guy here. I'm located in Lexington, Kentucky. We moved here from California. And his name's Divine Karama. And he teaches, you know, inner city kids. He was on the Today Show and a couple of shows talking about social intelligence. And he was just doing TikTok videos. But for him, he's like, I'm going to go all in. I'm going to create a nonprofit. I'm gonna raise jackets. And to me, that's all in, right? That whole entire component is giving back. If you're a company or an organization, obviously you're gonna have legal parameters, financial parameters. You don't want to put yourself in a situation where you could get a little bit dicey if you're committing to something or somebody says, you know, things could come up. So you're gonna run that through your legal team. I may start small, like I said before, walk before you run, walk before you know, get into that full sprint. But as a company and organization, I think something as simple as just giving back to your local community or just even a partnership. Anytime we work with a company, our onboarding process is like, hey, so what are you guys committed to? Tell us a little bit about your company. What's your why? What's your founder's story? Give us a little bit about the ups and downs. There's a great book called Mastery by George Leonard. You know, sometimes you're going to be crushing it, then you're going to be down low and you're going to have to just stay in the game, right? It's about continuing to move forward. And I think more importantly, taking that first step. Too often we get paralyzed and we think about, oh, I got to do this, 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 and this. I'm in a men's group and we've challenged everybody in the men's group that are extremely intimidated by TikTok. We're like, just open the phone and say something truthful. Right when you're done working out, when you get up in the morning, when you're in a peaceful place and you pray, you got done praying or meditating, just open the app, say something truthful that you believe in. That could also, it could be personal. But maybe it has an attachment to your business as well. But just starting with that small narrative, I think you'll notice, just like a seed, you're going to plant it and it'll grow. And as a company or an organization, I say start small. You don't need to hit them over the head with it. It's something that you could talk about, but at the end of the day, if it's what you truly believe in, then that's something that you're going to want to invest in. There's multiple ways to do that. I'm happy to share other ideas. You can create t-shirt companies. You can give back to local charities. But I think if you start local, like I said, and grow global, just pick a charity nearby you that you can work with. And you can do a little post on Instagram or social media, like, hey, check out this local charity or this local organization. That's going to show that you're community oriented and that you truly believe in growing your community and not putting money in your pocket.
It's interesting that you bring up things like turning your phone on and speaking your truth and growing businesses, growing brands, that sort of thing. At some point, you've got to promote yourself. At some point, you've got to market yourself. And in some cases, especially if it's your business, if it's your brand, you've got to promote yourself, which for some people, that can be quite tricky. So, how should people self-promote and advertise themselves?
Yes, I agree with that. But I'd like to flip it. It's not necessarily sales. I think sales is interchangeable with a number of terms. I think sales, marketing, promotions. It's at the end of the day, we talk about telling over selling. And so as our organization, we want to tell your story. We want somebody to really be emotionally connected. And that's what moves people. And that's, you've seen the rise in video. That's movement. And I talked about it before. You start with your mission, you get to your messaging, you go to your media and your marketing, and then you get to a movement. We want to move individuals. And so there's a number of ways, obviously, that we can move them. You could tap into some of the core emotions, fear, happiness, doubt. And you could break those things down and try and get super calculated, but oftentimes it's going to look calculated. It's going to look like you're manufacturing the story. And that's where if we can really just dig into what your story is, what's the pain that you solve, and how can you help your individuals? That's really what's going to resonate. And if you look at Instagram and some of these social media platforms, when you see some of these coaches or consultants that are quote unquote selling things, they're sharing their stories, they're sharing tips, tricks, tactics that they can leverage. And when we work with someone, we want to make it super simple. So at the end of the day, you're going to share these stories and then you're going to tell them what you do. And it all kind of comes together. So for a company or an organization, I help X do Y so that Z. You know, when we first started out, we helped doctors grow their businesses on social media so that they could have more financial freedom. and, you know, more profit to grow their foundations. And I think if you could really figure out what your message is, that's, then you can move into that marketing and sales process and be connected to that. And that's where, you know, it helps to be very succinct and short with your communication channels.
I reckon there is a way of trying to do it in a right way without switching people off. And it doesn't sound like it's an easy thing to do. I'm convinced that there is a way, Steve, but it is difficult because some people will just not really believe what you're saying. And sometimes people have a very difficult time connecting with other people, whether it's sharing, whether you're vulnerable, whether you're sharing your backstory. I can't remember the saying. I think it was something to do with decades to build and moments to destroy or something like that, in terms of like your reputation, your marketing, what people think of you, that sort of thing. It's so easy to get this thing wrong.
Yeah, there are a lot of challenges. You're totally right, Michael. I think when you're building this, you just need to be mindful. You want to start at the center of where you're at, and that's you. There's a really great blog by Kevin Kelly. It's called 1,000 Fans. And at the end of the day, any business is typically built on word of mouth marketing. It's the most powerful form of marketing. So typically that could come from social media, but that might also come from, you know, being a member of the PTA or going to local commerce meetings. And so being mindful of what are the key metrics that are moving your business. The number one thing that you should be asking when you're growing a business or you're growing yourself is, where are these referral sources coming from? Because if they're working, you should be doing more of that. Pushing individuals and pulling individuals. You're pulling individuals based on your content, and then you could also be pushing them, you know, based on your emotional connections. And there's going to be people that don't agree with you or are haters, and that's life. If you're getting acknowledged or recognized, you're doing something right. And I don't know who said it, but people don't remember what you said or did. They're going to remember how they felt when dealing with you. And that's where, if you're connected to a solid purpose or source with the product that you're delivering, then that's really what matters. And that's like starting with why, and Apple and some of these other organizations, you want to have a great feeling when you're interacting with your product or your service. And that's the ultimate goal. And then if you're marketing or building that, obviously there's channels, there's the inbound, there's the email. I would say social media is really important because it allows you to connect, but what does your own audience look like? If your social media page were to go down today or get canceled or banned or whatever, you lose all those people. So just be mindful of how you can capture these fans, if you will. Let's get to those 1,000 fans that we just talked about from Kevin Kelly. If you can get their phone number and an email, you can put it in an Excel sheet, or you can go a little bit deeper with like a CRM, such as HubSpot or these other tools. So then you can start some targeted marketing programs and sharing once a week. But at the end of the day, they don't want to be sold to. So that's where we talked earlier about sales. You want to deliver value. And if you're going to do email or even just social media posts, try to at least do one, two, or three value. So value, 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 offer. So give them some value, tips and tricks about your expertise. Give them some value, more tips or tricks. Give them some other tools or platforms or things that they can learn from. And then maybe you throw them an offer like, hey, you know, I have this really cool course. Or if you guys would like to see this PDF that I built out, you know, please download it. And that's how you're going to begin to working through that process. But I think you need to know who is driving the business for you. Ideally, you know, you're reaching out and doing some techniques, but there's probably somebody outside of yourself that you might not have an awareness to, or maybe you do, such as these influencers, like we talked about before, whether they're micro or macro, they're connected to their audience. If you have a purpose or a cause or a product or a service that is in alignment with what their audience would like, just like you and me, Michael, you have a wonderful audience. I want to share a little bit about my expertise. Great. I'll come on your channel. I'm not really selling anything. I'm just trying to help individuals. But at the end of the day, if somebody wanted to work with me, I would say yes.
It's definitely a fine balance, isn't it? Because there are people that are over promotional to the point where it doesn't matter how nice they are about it. Sometimes, as you say, people don't really want to be sold to, but they're quite happily buying things, in that sometimes they've got to already think they want it or know they want it or need it before they buy it, almost like they've already made the decision ahead of time.
Yeah, the whole process of what are you delivering someone? Everybody has a problem and we're trying to solve problems. That's at the end of the day, that's what a business does. Even a personality, right? If you're a YouTube influencer, sometimes people are depressed and they want to be cheered up. So they watch somebody who goes to entertainment theme parks so that they can have that vision of fun and excitement that they might not have in their life. Tony Robbins once said, successful marketing is when you have an irresistible offer and it meets the target audience. And so I know I talk a lot about what it is that you're delivering, you know, where are you coming from? What is your purpose? But also being mindful of what the persona is or your profile or who the target audience is. There's a really wonderful branding exercise that I do with clients. I'm happy to offer it to your audiences if they want it. I have it. It's at thesidelagency.com. But what you do is you break down your target audience. Who are you talking to? How old are they? What are the TV shows that they watch? What are the problems that they're having? And that's how you can really clue in on what your target audience is. And that's when, yes, you can promote to them, but really you want to just talk with them. You want to communicate with them. There's a three-step process. We love the rule of three. You want to get them to know who you are. Then you want to get them to like, know, like, and trust. So first they need to know that you're out there. Oh man, I discovered Michael. This guy's pretty cool. And then I'm like, oh, you know what? I kind of like this guy. He's giving great content. He does a wonderful podcast. He's helping all these visionaries and these entrepreneurs. And then after 3, 4, 5, 6 episodes, when we talk about truth and transparency, he seems to be coming from a place of positive intent and he really wants to help. I trust him. Oh, you know what? He has this course that he's offering or a PDF. Sure, I'll download it. Let me check it out. And so that's how the process works. And I think if you're creating content, just really think into what would you like, because you're probably your target audience 9 times out of 10. And what can you deliver that you feel would be valuable? Some people also, it's kind of a hack. I hate to even mention it, but the whole ChatGPT of it all, there's tools that you could leverage to sort of get an idea of like, oh, hey, if I'm selling sneakers, you could be selling orthopedic sneakers. You could be selling fashionable sneakers. You could be selling sneakers for sportswear. You could be selling sneakers for sporting events that need cleats on the bottom. But you could, you know, if I'm selling sneakers for, you know, orthopedics, where would I find ideal customers? You can sort of use that as a springboard. I wouldn't necessarily suggest you use that copy because it's really wild and the words are really bonkers, but you can use some of these tools. Ideally, you really learn it. If you put in the time, like you said, the 10 years and you experience that, then it's ingrained in your DNA.
It definitely does have to be a part of who you are in a way. That's the kind of impression I'm getting, Steve, is you need to live and breathe this stuff to be able to do it naturally. Because I'm getting the impression that you'll switch more people off if it's robotic or it's like you're reading off a hymn sheet, so to speak, where people can sense that. They really can't they?
Yeah, we even have a challenge when reading from scripts. If you might have noticed with the rise of AI and all these other things, you start hearing about prompt. It's like the rise of prompt. We're in the age of prompts. And so instead of scripting, giving them copy, we want individuals to come from the heart and speak their truth. So that's where we do a lot of social media. But part of that social media process is we actually send individuals into their offices or their practices if we're in medical, working with medical providers. And what our goal is to entertain, educate, and inform. Those are the three pillars. We want to inform them about the options that you could pursue if you have a problem. We want to educate them. Look, your skin is your largest organ. You need to protect it. If you don't start doing it now, as you get older, there could be sunspots, there could be skin cancer, you name it. And then lastly, we need to find ways where we can entertain them, even if it's, you know, copy popping up on the screen. That's why we send people into their practice and we record them and they get really nervous. These doctors and even just business owners are like, look, I'm not meant to do this. Practice makes progress. And that's where if you do these TikTok videos, you shoot one, you shoot two, you shoot three, you can go back and delete them all in like 2, 3, 4 months, but it just helps you. You can even not publish them. But what we suggest is start to overcome those fears and just get into that process. And that's where we use prompts as opposed to scripts. And we even say, look, you can include the question in your answer. Then we're being transparent. You're clearly answering an interview question. Maybe it was pulled from a podcast. Maybe it was with an interviewer, but tell us what you love about your job. And sometimes they'll just be like, oh, I love this, this, and this. Or they'll say, oh, what do I love about my job? Well, I love that I get to work with amazing people that are connected to their causes and that want to elevate their voices to help change the world. And so just by answering a simple prompt, I think is the fastest way to be genuine.
Well, it definitely sounds like the world of branding is becoming easier or simpler, and yet there are so few people that are actually doing it and doing it well. So I'm glad that you were able to shed some light on this for me, Steve, and for those that are listening, for those that want to learn a little more about you. So whether it be websites or social media, how can people connect with you?
Yeah, thanks again, Michael. I think, you know, the best way, you can go to thesidelagency.com, click on contact or consultation. I'd love to get you that branding guideline. In addition, it's Steven Seidel. So it's at STEPHENSEIDEL. And I'm across the board on social media. And that's another tip. If you're building that brand, you know, you can go to a site like Namechecker or Namecheck and see if these URLs are available across social media. And don't sleep on Reddit too, because they're really starting to grow. So you may want to get that username on Reddit as well. But just if you're building a company, building a brand, you want to go out there and see if you can capture those usernames across the board and make it really easy for people to know about you and follow you. And, you know, Michael, it's been a pleasure. I think, you know, if you build it, they will come. And we would love to help any company, you know, build their brand as well as increase your exposure with PR or any media. So thanks again.
Thanks so much for being a guest on the show. Those that are listening, feel free to subscribe, share the show, tell others, and also leave a review wherever you are listening into your podcasts. Steve, it's been great. Thank you. And I look forward to keeping in touch.
Thanks, Mike.